Hey, turn with me, if you can, to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Abraham certainly represents to the Christian and exemplifies the journey of faith that each one of us are on. Reminded of what it says in the book of Romans, where it talks about this journey of faith. It describes it in Romans chapter 1. It says about the gospel, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," that is in the gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And our Christian life is started in faith, but it continues in a life of faith. And Abraham's life certainly represents that journey of faith. I'm going to talk about that journey of faith today, especially from the life of Abraham. And perhaps it can be a challenge to you to give you a bearing as to really what God is trying to do in your life. Perhaps give you some insight as to whether you are really on that journey of faith. Reminded of what it said in the Galatians there, how they had begun in the Spirit but had been deceived and led astray, and now were living like they were made perfect by the works of the flesh. They had departed from the life of faith and didn't even know it. And we want to be challenged tonight about this morning about the life of faith and Abraham, from Abraham's journey of faith. So as we go to the book of Genesis, we realize that his journey started by faith. And the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, in verse number 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." And of course, Hebrews tells us, tells it this way, and he parallels that life of faith and gives it some different thoughts, some words there that are a great blessing as we think of them. In Hebrews chapter 11, speak of this life of faith and his God's call upon his life. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." This journey of faith is a life of faith and is exemplified by a life of obedience. Life of faith, rooted in faith, rooted in the promises of God, but it's exemplified by obedience to God. And certainly, this is how his journey started. And the Bible tells us that God says, "I want you to go to a land. I don't know where you're gonna. You don't know where I'm taking you, but I want you to go." And because of his implicit faith in God and in God's promises, the Bible says that he obeyed. And you know, much of obedience is rooted in just plain faith. Faith A lack of obedience is, I'm afraid, the result of a lack of faith. A lack of faith in God. A lack in faith of who He is. A lack of faith in the credibility of His Word and His promises. And the reliability and the wisdom of His commandments. And so this journey, the journey of life, is really a journey of faith. And the Scripture says the Christian starts out by faith, and life continues on in steps of faith. And even as we are here today, we have to ask ourselves, are you going forward by faith? Or are you going forward by sight? Are you going faith by forward? Or are you trying to go forward on your own reasoning? Or are you going forward on the basis of the Word of God? This journey of life, this journey of faith, though is starts in faith, continues in faith, is characterized by obedience to God, not because we understand everything that God says, but because we believe God. But this journey of faith is tested by many different things. And Abraham's journey was tested. And we're going to spend most of our time on the first one today, but there's at least six tests that Abraham experienced in his journey of faith. There were six different tests of his faith. And the first test is the one that we're going to look at today mainly. But the Bible tells us in verse 10, there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. The journey of faith is going to be tested by negative circumstances. You know, this is 100% against the megachurch philosophy of health, wealth, and prosperity. And the false gospel today is that when you accept Christ, everything is going to be fine. Well, there's two definitions of fine. You know, in God's will, it's fine. But what people mean by that, everything's going to be fine, is they mean that everything's going to be just smooth, no problems, no difficulties, my pocket's full of money, no nothing to battle, no, they're just as smooth sailing as you can go. Well, that's a dream world. And the first test of the journey of faith that we're going to read about is negative circumstances. And you know, it's amazing what happens to people when they come to negative circumstances. There's a famine in the land. Oh, a famine in the land? Hey, this is a land of plenty. This is the land of promise. This is the land that God said He would bless them in. And there's a famine in the land? Oh, wow. Maybe this wasn't the right place. Maybe God didn't really call me. Well, there's other tests. I'm not sure if we're going to spend time in detail about this, but the journey of faith is tested by conflict. Tested by conflict. And this conflict was the conflict of finances. And the Bible tells us in chapter number 13, verse 7, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. There was strife. There was conflict. And it was serious conflict. Because their sheep didn't have enough grass to eat, didn't have enough grazing land. And it becomes pretty serious, you know, when your faith begins to affect your pocketbook. Now, it might not look like that to you, but I tell you what, if sheep don't have anything to graze on, guess what? They're going to get skinny, aren't they? And the purpose of raising animals is not to see if you can starve them to death. Now, I realize some people think that, but that's not the purpose of raising animals, is to starve them to death. The purpose of is to feed them, get them fat, so you can sell the lambs, so you can sell the offspring. So that's how a farmer makes money, unless you don't know that. You know, the price between a good fat cattle and a skinny one is about 50%. And that 50% would be in the loss column, not the profit column. And so we find that the journey of faith was tested by conflict, and it was tested by finances. And there was a choice that had to be made. And that choice was a choice of faith. And Abram said to Lot, "You take whatever you want. I'll take what's left over." The choice to take what was left over was a choice of faith, putting his life in the hands of God. Abraham's faith, journey of faith, was tested by unanswered promises and prayers. Unanswered promises and prayers. And we find, obviously, a couple different aspects of that. But the Bible tells us in chapter 15, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, wilt thou give me? What wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. The only one I have to give my riches is Eliezer. I don't have a child. You promised me a child. I don't see one." He says, well, maybe Eliezer is going to be the inheritor. Chapter 16 says, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah." This journey of faith was tested by unanswered promises. I've said it many different times over the years. What takes more faith? To pray for your mate and have him saved in a few months? Or pray for your mate for 20 years and keep praying? I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Here was unanswered prayer. Here was unanswered promises. This is the fact that faith isn't tested by endurance. You know, we are the now generation. We want everything now. We want all the blessings now. We want all the answers to prayer now. We want everything now. You know, ask a child. You know, ask a 5-year-old, Well, do you want me to take you to Culver's tonight for an ice cream, or do you want me to take you to Culver's in a month? What are they going to say? Tonight. But you know, in our immaturity, that's how our faith is too. And Abraham's faith was tested sorely by unanswered prayer, or seemingly unanswered promises. And it is amazing what happens to people in the time of endurance. In the time when the prayers don't seem to be answered. It was tested by unanswered promises. His faith was tested by, obviously, the impossible. By the impossible, chapter 18. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And there, these angels gave the promise that Sarah was going to have a child. But you know, the problem was, Sarah is now 90 years old. And Abram's now 100 years old. And Sarah was past the manner of women and physically impossible to have a child. Now his faith is tested again by the impossible. And what did Sarah do? She laughed. She laughed, didn't she? Ha ha! It was tested by the impossible. Chapter 19. And the men go to, the angels go to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what? This is a test. The life of faith is tested by God's judgment. The life of faith is tested by God's judgment. And what is Abram's response? You know, this is a test of faith. What are you going to do when the holy God judges sin? You know, there's a lot of people don't like God judging sin, do they? And this is the occasion for them to turn their back on God. Here's another test. And of course, the last test was found in Genesis 22. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Here is the test of the priorities of life. The test of the priorities of life. And in this case, this was Isaac. There was probably nothing more important to Abram in his life than Isaac. And yet God is going to test his faith with Isaac. You know, it's amazing as you think of people and you understand people. The one thing I found about people is people always start thinking about what will this cost me? The average person that walks into this auditorium, the first thing that they do is they look around and they say, what will this cost me? You witness to someone, and what are they thinking inside? They are thinking, what will this cost me? Men will say, well, what sin do I have to give up? Will I have to stop my flirting ways? Will I have to give up my my liquor? What will I have to give up? That's how people think. And young people think the same way, don't they? What will I have to give up? But you see, the life of faith, God tests that faith. And you know, we find that he tested Abram's faith by asking him to give up the most precious thing in his life. You know, the life of faith is a life that can pass that test. The life of faith is the life that can pass that test. Tests of life are the tests of faith. Those who pass the test show their faith. Those who have faith and fail in the test, by God's grace, later on, their faith is increased. But today we'd like to take a little bit extra time and talk about how Abram's faith, his journey of faith, was tested by negative circumstances. So let's go back to Genesis 12. And there was a famine in the land. I guess we should stop there. A famine in the land. Now God said to Abram, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave the land of your birth. I want to send you to a land that I will tell you of. And in that land, I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. And in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Sounds like a pretty positive blessing, doesn't it? Sounds pretty great, and it was. But it did not negate reality. And in that reality was a couple things. The land of Canaan always was a land of faith. The land of Canaan always was a land of marginal rainfall. The land of Canaan always was the crossroads of the world. It was always the center of commercial trading, at least the routes, the land routes. And we find that throughout the Bible, is that when Israel went into the land, in Deuteronomy 28 and 29, there was a blessing and a cursing. And the blessing was, if you obey me, obey my laws, you'll have rain. But if you don't obey me, you won't have rain. A land of marginal rainfall. They needed God's hand. They need God's blessing. But God also used that as a time of testing. And this time it was a time of testing. And you know, let's face it, most people think when they're going to get saved, everything is just going to be great, don't they? They just think that, humanly speaking, there will never be another problem. Humanly speaking, they think this is the greatest thing. I will never have a battle in my life. Everything is going to be just as wonderful as Joel Osteen says. No, that's not true. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers trials, knowing the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. So what should you do when there's famine in the land? Well, there's two choices. Stay in the land by faith because God brought you there. Or go somewhere where there's food. Those are the two simple choices. Stay there by faith. And go through the trial, go through whatever it is, in this case, lack of food. It's very real. I remember being in Beersheba, and the guide said, this desert land, says once in a while it rains. And that year, this ground produces a bumper crop of wheat. But it may not rain at the right time for the next 3 years. But when it rains, it produces a bumper crop. Well, it was one of those years it didn't rain. What was Abraham going to do? We find this as a typical scene in the Bible. We find this in the times of Naomi and Elimelech in the book of Ruth. They lived in the house of bread, Bethlehem. But it was during the times of the judges, and Israel was away from the Lord. Do you think that when people are away from the Lord, they have a lot of faith? What do you think? How many vote that when you're away from the Lord, you have a lot of faith? Either nobody heard the question or everybody agrees. Well, Naomi and Elimelech didn't have much faith, and so in the time of drought, where'd they go? Moab. Now, Moab and Egypt have two things in common. As far as biblical perspective, Moab and Egypt both are symbols of the world. They're both places that symbolize a lack of faith and worldliness. And so, Abram fails the test. He goes to Egypt. Why would he say that he did fail the test? Why would you say that this is a wrong response? Well, actually, there's four reasons. One was he was called to go to Canaan, not Egypt. Number two, he didn't build any altars in Egypt. And an altar is a place where you have fellowship with God. Abram didn't build any altars in Egypt. In fact, when he came back from Egypt, what's the first thing he did? Chapter 13. And he went on, verse 3, went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Very interesting truth. And the last reason is really the next point, is what were the results of his lack of faith and leaving the place of faith? What were the results of his lack of faith and leaving the place where God had called him to? Maybe this is parallel with that phrase, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Some people have called it the 7-year. I talked to this one pastor once and he says people have the 7-year itch. They're in a place for so many years, and now they get the itch, and they just have this idea that things are better somewhere else. Well, what are the results of this lack of faith and leaving the place of faith? Number one, he became vulnerable to sin. He became vulnerable to sin. Verse 11, and when he came to pass, when he came near to enter into Egypt, he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold, now I know thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. Well, he was a relative, but he was married. She was a relative, but they were married. And what was the purpose of saying that she was his sister? Deception. What was the purpose of saying this? So they would not think she and Abram were married. That was the purpose. Deceit, lie. So here's the man of faith becomes a liar. Is that a very good situation? Why did he come to that place? Because when you leave the place of faith, you become vulnerable to sin. You go to worldly places, that doesn't make you necessarily, typically, doesn't make you stronger in your faith. You're around godless people by choice rather than being when you should be with God's people. That isn't going to make you stronger in your faith. He became vulnerable to sin. Number two, he put God's plan at risk. He put God's plan at risk. Now, so he gets to Egypt, and they go to Pharaoh, and they say, "Hey, Pharaoh, there's a beautiful woman came into town. I thought you just might want to know about it." And Pharaoh says, "I'm certainly glad I knew about this. I want her to be a part of my harem." And Sarai, who is supposed to be the seed of Jesus Christ, almost becomes the wife of a heathen king. This lack of faith put God's plan at risk. You know, you think about it. God has a plan. And God has a plan. You're supposed to be in this land. Through you, the Messiah is going to be born. And now Abram throws that all out the window in his mind and lets Sarah, for his safety's sake, go into Pharaoh's house. The plan of God is at risk. Thirdly, why do we know that this was wrong? What were the results? He brought long-term consequences to his family. He brought long-term consequences to his family. The first one was he was a stumbling block to Lot. He was a stumbling block to Lot. He took Lot with him, the Bible tells us. He took Lot with him to Egypt. And when they got back, the Bible tells us they had this conflict. And Lot is deciding what he's going to do, of where he should take his family. And there's a very interesting insight if you go to chapter 13 and look at verse 10. "And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was well watered, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of" what? Egypt. Lot has in his mind Egypt. Lot has in his mind the wealth of Egypt. Lot has in his mind the success of Egypt. And he's reminded of that when he looks over to the plain of Jordan, to the well-watered fields of Jordan, by Jericho, by Sodom and Gomorrah. And even today, you can look over the top of the hills on your way from Jerusalem, and you can go and look towards Jericho, and you'll see palm trees, and you'll see grass. You'll be standing in the middle of a wilderness, but you'll look that way and you'll see that green. Well, that's what Lot saw. Just like Egypt. But you know what he didn't see? Sin. Sin. So Abram, whose faith was stronger than Lot, was able to overcome this bad decision, but his nephew, Lot, wasn't. And you know, you may be raised in a good, strong Christian home, and you may make some big mistakes, and you may be able to get out of them. But you know what? The people that you affect may not have that same strength. And you may cause them to fall real far because you were a stumbling block. And Abram was a stumbling block to Lot. Long-term consequences. Turn to chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, and Egyptian. Where do you think she got this Egyptian servant? In Egypt. In Egypt. Talk about long-term consequences. And Hagar is the mother of the archenemy of the Jewish people. The Arabs, even to this day. Long-term consequences. The results of this lack of faith. In this journey of faith, we do not want to overlook, though, God's grace of providential protection. The Bible tells us that when Pharaoh took a Sarah, that verse 17, the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues. Because of Sarah, Abram's wife. I'm sure that this was a great encouragement for Israel to read about this, be reminded of this when they were in Egypt and Moses was sent to deliver them. And Pharaoh was in a place to hinder the plan of God for the people to go to the promised land, and God gave them great plagues. Well, this was certainly encouragement to them. But God intervened. And God had to intervene. He had to plague the Egyptians. He had to cause Pharaoh not to touch Sarah. He had to protect his plan. Now, the fact is, without God's intervention, each one of us would have wrecked God's plan a long time ago. But God is a God of grace, a God of providential protection. And it is amazing to watch the people of God as God protects them in His plan. You know, there are questions. It seems like some, like Lot, God lets them alone. But Abram, God didn't leave him alone. He intervened and protected the plan of God, which eventually, we're reminded of, is the coming of the Lord Jesus. Well, I want to ask you a question today. Are you on the journey of faith? Now, if you're not saved, you're on a journey of religion that will send you nowhere. And probably the wrong place. But if there's been a point in your life where you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you are now on a journey of faith. And from that point on, your life is to be characterized by decisions of faith. And faith will be the main criteria of the progress of your spiritual life. Faith. Not doubt, not rebellion, not disobedience, not self-will, not leaning on your own understanding, but faith. And faith always costs something. There's always something at risk in faith. Now, faith is always tested. And many people don't see the tests of faith. Today we are at the test of negative circumstances. You know, it's amazing, as a pastor, been here 40 years, what I watch is religious euphoria. I watch religious euphoria. I remember when such and such the church was the church to go to, and everybody was going there. And then, in a couple years, another church is the place to go to, and everybody's going there. And then in a couple years, there's this church, and that's the place to go to, and everybody's flocking there. You know, they're leaving this place, they're emptying out of that, and they're going there. That's, you know what? That's people. And you know, the church is not the strongest in the time of euphoria. The church is not the strongest when, oh, isn't that great? Everything's happening. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Because that euphoria will be tested by negative circumstances. And then you will find out who has real faith. Because you see, Satan is the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And he has a plan to upset God's plan. And God's plan is not determined by everything going smooth. God's plan is tested by a number of things, but one of them is negative circumstances. And negative circumstances will test what kind of faith a person has. One thing we learn from the life of Abram is the life of faith is built around the altar. It's built around the worship and the submission to God. And that's where fellowship is with. Abram didn't have an altar down in Egypt. Now, nowadays, they probably could have made one. Because syncretism is all about today. But the real altar was in Bethel. And in the Canaan land. So as you think about God's plan for your life, think about the test that you might be in today. And what are you going to do with the test? The test needs to be responded to in faith. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Faith is seeing Him who is invisible. Faith is seeing God, the invisible God, and His plan as revealed in the Word of God. The journey of faith. The key issue description of our life, a journey of faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word today. Thank You for the truth of Your word that makes us able to see life, the obstacles, the enemies of life, of faith, the correct responses. And Lord, help us to see that You have these tests, whether it's negative circumstances, whether it's a command that we don't understand, whether it is a time in which You seemingly have held Your distance, a time that You call for the sacrifice of that which is dearest to our soul, whatever it is. Lord, might in Your grace may we be found responding in faith, that we might continue on in our journey, and that Your will, Your plan, that started at the very beginning would be accomplished. We pray that You would be glorified in these truths. Might we apply them to our life? Well, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're here today. You say.